It is very exciting to begin this series of shiurim on the topic of tshuva based on the incredible sefer Al HaTshuva. I want to just begin with a brief word of introduction about the sefer, and then we'll dive right in to the shiur itself. This is a book, Al HaTshuva, which was based on oral presentations, famous shiurim, really drushas, that Rav Soloveitchik gave this time of year, I think maybe even more precisely during Aseres Yemei Teshuva, about the topic of Teshuva. These were huge and popular and famous drushas. If I'm not mistaken, I believe they were given in Yiddish. And then eventually there was an Israeli journalist named Pinchas Peli who translated them into Hebrew and published a number of the drushas in this work, Al HaTshuva. Subsequently, I think there's also an English translation, but the more well-known presentation is in the written work is this Hebrew book called Al HaTshuva. I bought this sefer must be 30 years ago, maybe even slightly more, or certainly approximately 30 years ago, and it has been one of my most favorite Svarim in general, and specifically when it comes to the topic of Teshuvah. The ideas I have always found are both brilliant in the sense of the Torah analysis, but also incredibly brilliant and insightful and inspiring and just impactful when it comes to the psychological insight, the spiritual insight, and the ability to really understand from the inside what it means to be a person who struggles, who falls, who fails, and hopefully can pick himself up and do teshuva. And I haven't learned the sefer consistently in many years, but I used to do it very consistently year after year, and it really is one of my favorite all-time svarim, certainly when it comes to the broader topic of tshuva, but really in general. So I could not be more excited to share a sefer and learn a sefer with you than this particular sefer. All the essays are great and all are important, and therefore I figured, why not just start at the beginning? I have no reason to go out of order. We might as well just start at the beginning. And the opening essay is called Kapara and Tahara. It goes for, I think, about 20 pages or so. And we will break it up into a few mini shurim. So I appreciate you joining me in Amir Tzah Hashem. Tomorrow we'll have the next shir. And I look forward to hopefully having the shurim also recorded. And then we'll post them for anyone who misses it. Okay, let's get started. And it begins as follows. This is, if you have the handout that I gave and I shared, it's page 15. Liyom HaKippurim, kemo l'teshuvah, yesh shnei aspektim. Again, because this was originally an oral presentation, even if it was in Yiddish, but there's a lot of English that gets included into the Hebrew here. And says Rav Soloveitchik at the outset, Yom Kippur, like tshuva more broadly, has two aspects, two dimensions. First of all, Yom HaKippurim is mechaper, it atones. As the Pasuk says in Vayikra, Perek Tet Zayin, Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem. So Yom Kippur is an intense opportunity for atonement, and more broadly, tshuva grants atonement. This is also an expression that is found in the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol, where he pleads with Hashem, Kaper na l'avonos, please give atonement to the Jewish people's sins. However, says Rav Soloveitchik, there's also a second, an additional dimension. Yom HaKippurim is mitaher. It's not only an atonement, but it also purifies us. Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem l'taher eschem. So it's not just the kapara, but also tahara. And in the avodah of the Kohen Gadol, we say lifnei Hashem titaru. Not only kapara, again, we have the second phrase of tahara. And these two motifs are repeated time and again in our tefillos, kapara and tahara. And as our Soloveitchik says in the next paragraph, these two elements, shal kapara and tahara, heim totza yishira, shal achet, ulumatam af b'chet atzmo, shne elementim eila, achet mechayev, v'achet mitame. Says Rav Soloveitchik something very logical, very methodically, and very compellingly. If, he has, as he ascertains, tshuva, as exemplified by Yom Kippur, but more broadly teshuva, contains two dimensions, two motifs, Kapara and Tahara. The reason for this is because sin actually generates two problems to which the two aspects of Teshuvah will be the two solutions or the two antidotes. The reason that there are two dimensions of Teshuvah, says our Soloveitchik, is because if we go back to ground zero, what necessitates the need for Teshuvah is sin, and sin itself generates two problems, two obligations on the sinner. Number one, says Rav Soloveitchik, the sin is mechayev. We owe something. We deserve to be punished. We have a debt now that we've incurred. We are obligated to make a payment, as it were. And number two, in addition, and this I would suggest is perhaps the more original, creative chiddush, sin is also mitameh. It doesn't just require of us something, it actually impacts us. It contaminates us. It doesn't just obligate us to do something, it says something about us in our essence. Let's unpack this. Says Rishalovich, continuing here on the bottom of the page. Kedei lahavin mahein kapara v'tahara shabiyom ha-kippurim, yesh ledat mahein chiyu v'tumah b'yachas l'chait. And therefore, in order to truly appreciate teshuvah, we need to first go a little bit onto the dark side and understand sin, as it were. Ha-chait v'onsho noldu ke'echad. Number one, he says you have to realize that sin and punishment go hand in hand. Ein chait b'lo onish, right? If you don't want to do the time, don't do the crime. But the crime always comes with a punishment. There's no such thing as a free ride. Im onish bebezdin shalmata, v'im, turning the page, onish bebezdin shalmala. Whether we sometimes, for reasons that we don't always understand, but Hashem has divided, the Torah has divided our punishments. Sometimes it's an earthly punishment that can be meted out by the bezdin, and other times it's something only Hashem will take care of, in the bezdin shalmala. But either way, schar v'onish hemi yisodos ha'emuna of yahadus. We know that the idea of reward and punishment, and here we're focusing on the punishment side of the ledger, but we don't have to forget the good stuff also. There's also reward, and both of those are direct results of our actions. If we sin, we get punished. If we do mitzvot, we get rewarded. And this is a foundation of Yiddishkeit. Says the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Nun, Kala Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran, Hu Yotro Me'ev. That is to say, a person might get carried away. You know, nowadays especially, there's a trend, and I think it's overall a good trend, to focus on Hashem's Midas Rachamim, and how Hashem, I love Hashem, Hashem loves me, no matter what I do, Hashem will always love me. A lot of positivity, and again, there's a place for it, it's true, and it can be very, very powerful, and it is certainly, I would say, somewhat popular nowadays. However, a person could get carried away and go too far. Person might think, well, Hashem is so wonderful, Hashem is so much rachamim, Hashem is so much love for me, that no matter what I do, Hashem will just forgive it. And says the Gemara, that is going too far. Because that is, in essence, whether you realize it or not, denying this principle of reward and punishment. And therefore, if a person will just say, whatever I do, Hashem will vatran, Hashem will forgive it, i.e. even without teshuvah, just Hashem, He's so loving and forgiving, He doesn't care. A person like that, in the Gemara's vivid and graphic formulation, it forfeits their right to life. That is a very, very severe misstatement. And Rav Soloveitchik emphasizes this because it coalesces, it coheres with the point he's trying to make, that the essence of Yiddishkeit includes both reward and punishment. Hashem doesn't just let things go. Ein yahadut b'li ha'emunah b'schar b'onash. Right? You can't have a stronger declaration than that. Says Rav Soloveitchik, there is no such thing as Yiddishkeit and Judaism without a belief in schar b'onash. Without this awareness that sin is not a davar hacholef v'over kalo haya. Sin is not just something that disappears in an instant. It's here today, gone tomorrow, as if it was, you know, meaningless, didn't leave a lasting impact. B'lila hashir la'acharav roshem ha'machayev onesh. And that is not going to leave an impact that will require a punishment. On the contrary, ha'chet va'onesh simudim heim. They go together. Ritzoncha harei etzem ha'gderar ha'chet hi b'kach she'esh kan act. Hakorech imo onesh. In a certain sense, of the Soloveitchik, we can define sin definitionally as an act which generates the obligation of a punishment. You simply cannot have a sin without the direct result. It's kind of metaphysical law of nature, or a law of metaphysical nature, perhaps that's a better way of putting it. Sin generates an obligation of punishment. And therefore, says the Soloveitchik, now we understand the first motif of teshuva, which we called kapara. Seder Soloveitchik, kapara perusha mechila. The first aspect of teshuva, what it means to achieve atonement in English, is to be forgiven. That is to say, Hashem is mochel. He forgives this debt, this chiyuv that we have incurred. He's willing to forgo and forgive the punishment. Hamusag mechila mekaro b'dinei mamonos. Just like a person who is owed a debt, you sold something to someone, he owes you money. You lent somebody money, he owes you money. In either of those cases, the person who is owed the debt, the can decide, the creditor can decide to forgive the loan. They don't do it that often in the real world, in the financial world, but in theory they could. It's money owed to them, and therefore they have a right to forgive it. So too, says R' Soloveitchik, by doing teshuva, kapara means Hashem forgives the debt. He forgives the schiyuv that we owe him. And he points out that this goes back to the earliest examples that we have in history of sin with Cain and Hevel, where the Torah itself tells us in Perek Dalid that if Hashem tells the Cain, if it's good for you, im teitiv, se'et, you know, then Hashem could, so to speak, remove or release the punishment. But if not, then lepetach chatat rovetz, the sin will just, you know, will always be crouching, so to speak, at the door. It's there, it exists as a given, because this is a direct result, schar onesh, as we've said, and only can be removed by, in essence, paying the debt. That's if we got the punishment, or Hashem forgiving the debt. That's if we do teshuva. Then he quotes other examples in Shmuel Bet, in other places in Chumash and in Tanakh, where we have this idea. Ayidei teshuva v'kapara, this first dimension, this first element of teshuva, a person is bone chomat magain. This is a very resonant metaphor and vivid language that R' Soloveitchik used all those years ago, at least the way it's translated into Hebrew. It certainly resonates with us nowadays, all over, but especially for those of us living in Israel. He says basically by doing teshuva, we are forging, we are creating an iron dome, or he calls it an iron wall, if you will, or a chomat magain, a defensive wall, right? We know that there was supposed to be a wall separating Israel from Gaza. Unfortunately, it got breached. And we have the iron dome that protects us. So there could be bad things on the other side of the wall, but if we have a protective shield or protective wall, so then we are safe. So too, the sin is there. The punishment exists. The need to be punished is an automatic, direct, metaphysical result of the sin. That's already there. It's a given. So what does tshuva do through kapara? It creates this force shield, this defensive wall, this defensive protective shield, which will hopefully protect us from the sin, which otherwise would be a natural result. Ha'onesh eino batel mi'atzmo. Sin, punishment doesn't just get erased on its own. That's why the Gemara, which we quoted before, had said it's such a terrible mistake if you just say God forgives everything. He's a vatron. No, no, no. Sin, punishment cannot be erased. It does not go away on its own automatically. Hakofer, hatshuva v'hakapara hi efo me'ein pidyon nefesh. We need to, so to speak, we're paying for it alternatively. You know, it's like in, you know, the kind of the old small villages or the country, we have a little local doctor maybe or something, and, you know, the poor farmer perhaps or whatever, the classic cliche is, you know, needed the services but doesn't have enough money. He says, I don't have enough money to pay you, but, you know, please, I had a good harvest this year. Play, you know, take a few pumpkins and some carrots and my cow, here's a few buckets of the milk. You paid off the debt with something else. So the Soloveitchik, that's basically what happens with tshuva. We owe a debt and we should be punished. But we can, Hashem in His kindness allows us, if we do teshuva, to quote unquote pay off the debt with something else. We can use teshuva to redeem ourselves, to save ourselves, and not get what we actually deserve, which is the punishment. In that sense, we can redeem ourselves, save ourselves from the punishment we deserve by offsetting the debt with a different form of payment, that is teshuva. However, this is only the first dimension. He continues, he says, there is a second dimension of sin. Hachet is also mitamei. It also contaminates us. It doesn't just obligate us in something, it does something to us. Yesh musag shel tumas hachet. Chet can contaminate the person, him or herself. And we have this example, this phenomenon, he says, throughout the Tanakh, where we see that a person can become dirtied and contaminated and just made gross, if you will, through sin. And this is a kind of metaphysical, spiritual reality. But says R' Soloveitchik, sin automatically changes the person, changes the sinner. Hachet kemo ma'avir es haketer ha'eloki mi'al roshu shel adam upogea v'shleimuto haruchanit. Sin itself, as a manner of speaking, he uses kind of a different metaphor here, but it's as if, you know, every Jew has, so to speak, a crown of royalty. We start off automatically in a good place, but by sinning, we've removed that crown, and we have taken away something of our perfection, of our essence. And this has numerous expressions, he says, both in Agada and in Halacha. For example, in Halacha, Yehudi she'over avera mishtane ma'amado hachuki. His legal status, a person's legal status and stature and standing, can change by sinning. After all, a person who does certain more severe averos, the kinds that need to get punished in the Beis Din, so in addition to the punishment that is incurred and owed and will come to the person, in addition to that, hu gam nifsal le'edut, he's already viewed as a rasha. And that is not just, you know, a rhetorical exaggeration or, you know, a term that a preacher might use, you're a sinner, but actually has halachic teeth. It has concrete implications. A person who is otherwise eligible and kosher to be a witness loses that, becomes disqualified, is posel le'edus, because the sin has changed them, has denigrated them, has contaminated them. The fact that you're disqualified from being a witness has nothing to do with the fact that you're also being punished. What does punishment have to do with whether you, I saw something happening, I saw a bank robbery and I could testify about it. What's it got to do with the fact that yesterday I ate treif and maybe I deserve a punishment? Or I did some other aver and I deserve a punishment? The answer is enechanami, there is no connection. The fact that you get punished has nothing to do with the fact that you are now considered unreliable and disqualified from being a witness. So Salvechik, that has nothing to do with the onesh, has to do with the second dimension of sin. And that is the contamination, the denigration, the fact that you are no longer the same person. Your ma'amad ishi, your personal standing and stature, has been diminished. The person after he or she sins is a different person. They started off with a cheskat ne'emanut. They were assumed to be implicitly reliable and believable, and they lose that automatically because of this type of sin in which it contaminates and changes and degrades the person. Continues Rav Soloveitchik, Beregash Adam Chotehu Nifsad Nishchatu Nitmahu Yarad Mimamado. Right? The moment a person sins, there's a second direct result. You're diminished. Some of you is, so to speak, degraded, destroyed, contaminated. You are not on the same stature that you were. Ein bakach mishum onesh. This is not a punishment. This is not a fine. But rather, this is not Hashem just being, quote unquote, angry at you. This is rather a direct result of a spiritual transformation. Zoti begima metaphysit b'ishyuto b'ktusha so taladam. There's a metaphysical change. It's a law of the spiritual, metaphysical nature. There's nothing you could do about it. It's not a decision as much as it is an automatic reality. Interestingly, as we get to the end of this section, and we're going to end the shiur in a moment, the last paragraph here at the bottom of page 17, he talks about the communists. Now, I have to say, I may be missing some of the historical or philosophical insight, I should say. I'm not sure why he's specifically focusing on the communists as much as I would say the secular perspective, the godless perspective. And maybe that's all he means, and maybe just when this speech was being given, you know, it was still at the height of the Cold War, and communism was first and foremost in everyone's mind. But at least, you know, sitting here now in 2024, I think what he says is still true, but I don't know why he specifically focuses on communism as much as it sounds like secularism. Namely, what's the point here? Look at the bottom of the page. Ha-communistim medabrim al stia ta'ut, but not on chet. Communists, as he says it, or I would say more just secular people, they don't talk about sin, right? That word, you know, in our modern, our postmodern secular culture, right? Sin, it like makes people feel weird. It's like an icky, you know, because it's too religious. And secular people don't use such religious language, right? Sin sounds, you know, we don't talk in those terms. We could talk about a stia, a deviation from the norm, a ta'ut. You know, this person made a mistake. Mistakes were made. He made a mistake in his marriage. You know, we use that type of very secular, you know, type of language. It's been very much, you know, destigmatized. But I would say sin, on the other hand, is a stigmatized language. It's, so to speak, laundered, if you will, in a secular parlance. And now, instead of speaking about sin and things like sin, you know, way too scary and just weird, frankly, from a secular perspective. So now we speak about, he deviated, he made a mistake. We don't talk about sin. Sedar Soloveitchik, this is a fundamental mistake. Meta'ut ein tuma metaphysit, ein his dahamut. Because if you just talk about a quote-unquote mistake, so that doesn't have the metaphysical implications. That doesn't contaminate the person. That doesn't change the person. It was a mistake. Ta'ut, he continues, turning over the page. He musag logi, legali. It's a logical category. It could even be, in certain contexts, a legal category. But it's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a spiritual, metaphysical category. Chet is pogem be'etzim mahuto shel adam. Ba'omkei, in the depths of the person, in the kishkas of the person, they are different and unfortunately lesser and degraded. And in light of all of that, we return now to the original thesis. Because there's the second dimension, the second result of sin, there has to be a second dimension and a second motif of teshuva. Teshuva amiti t'efo lo rak mechaperet. It's not just the first thing we saw, that it's a kapara, it atones for us, it saves us from having to pay our debt and being punished. But teshuva is also ga mitaheret. It purifies us from this tumah. Mishachreret et ha'adam mitimtum ha'lev. When a person sins, there's a certain contamination, a certain plaque, as it were, that is sitting on the heart of the person. It's like kind of a cholesterol clogging the spiritual arteries. And this second dimension of tshuva has this metaphysical power to free us from that, to purify us from this, from these blockages of our spiritual potential. And machzir adam l'chiyuto, it brings us back to our spiritual healthy place. Notenet lo mechadash et dimuto amikoreit. You bring us back to our default setting, which was healthy and vibrant spiritually. But by sinning, we've clogged our arteries. We've, so to speak, you know, there's dirt on the windshield. We can't see clearly. We can't act fully. We're less than. We're not 100% anymore. We've been degraded. We've been downgraded. We've been contaminated. And therefore, we need the second dimension of teshuvah. It is not only mechaper to get us out of punishment. That's important. But even more important and more profound and more mechudash is that teshuvah is mitaher. It transforms us. It doesn't just free us from something that is owed to us, but external to us, a debt we owe. Rather, it changes us. Not just freeing us from a punishment, but it changes who we are. It elevates us. It returns us to the higher spiritual level which we began with. So, Emir Tzashem, we will continue tomorrow with part two in the continuation of this essay. But what we've seen is this very important and compelling thesis. There's two aspects of sin, and therefore corresponding two dimensions of teshuvah.